Imagine if there was one thing, just one thing you could do to improve just about every area of your life. What would that be worth to you? Well, to get you started, how about a 30-minute investment of your time? Sound fair? I mean, right now, for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to share one word that can change your life. Stay with me.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip serves as our Bible teacher on this daily international discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy. And today, Chip continues our current series, Authentic, How to Be a Christian Without Being Religious. We're right about in the middle of this series, so if you've missed any of the previous programs, let me suggest downloading the Chip Ingram app. You'll have free access to these messages, Chip's message notes, and all the special offers. Now, if you have a Bible, open it now to Proverbs chapter 10, and let's join Chip for his message, One Little Word That Will Change Your Life.
I want to tell you about one word that I believe can change your whole life. And that's not an overstatement. I believe there is one word that, not if you intellectually understand it or even get emotionally caught up in it, but there is one word that if you begin to put it into practice and it becomes the characteristic of who you are, it will change your whole life. In order for you to get that word down deep in your heart, I want to give a little free Hebrew wisdom out. We're going to memorize a verse together. It's an axiomatic wisdom principle. And first of all, it gives a positive axiom. He who walks in integrity walks securely. Then it gives the negative axiom. But he who perverts his way will be found out. It's time tested. He who walks in integrity, honesty, being blameless, authentic, real, sincere. The word means what you say and how you live tell the same story. When you walk in integrity, you walk securely. And that word means safe, protected. By contrast, it says, but he who perverts his way, and the word pervert literally means to take a bend in the road, to get off the tracks, to know what you need to do but not do it, to know what you shouldn't do and go ahead and do it, to begin to present one thing but know inwardly it's really different. When you take a bend in the road, when you move off of a life of integrity, you will be found out. The problem is we don't get found out soon enough. And so we think we can get away with it. And then we live double lives. So are you ready this side of the room? He who walks in integrity walks securely. You get to be the positive side. You get to be the negative side. But we'll get to swap in a minute, okay? Okay. I'll say it, and then next round, you say it with me. Do not look at the notes. I know it's on there. Cheating, no, no, no. Okay? He who walks in integrity walks securely. One more time. He who walks in integrity walks securely. This is going to be a challenge, a very intellectual group over here. They picked up very quickly, okay? But he who perverts his way will be found out. Ready? But he who perverts his way will be found out. He who walks in integrity walks securely. He who walks, but you got it. Now, everybody wants to change, right? I mean, I've never met someone who said, you know, I've got a pretty good marriage. I'd like it to get a little worse. You know, I'm a bad golfer. I want to be terrible. Or I'm a pretty good parent. In another 5 years, I think I could mess up my kids. You know, everyone wants to change for the better. I think it's in the DNA. And believer or unbeliever, it's in us, made after God's image, to want to improve and grow and become better. I mean, there's a multi-billion-dollar industry called the self-help industry. And there's infomercials, and you read this book, take this pill, use this machine for 6 minutes a day, and you'll have a body like whoever. So we all want to change. But what we do know is it wouldn't be a multi-billion dollar industry if it really worked. Because people would change and get better. But since they don't, they try this, then they try this, then they try that, then they try that. And I want to suggest that the fundamental reason, whether it's spiritual or relational or financial or in your work, that real lasting change doesn't occur is because it's like dealing with above the waterline of an iceberg. And you're only dealing with sort of the visible part. And I'm going to suggest that underneath the waterline, at the very foundation of the iceberg of change, is the issue of integrity. Is that until you really get honest with yourself, honest with God, and learn progressively to be honest with other people, you'll spend most of your energy trying to project that you're better than you are. A lot of your energy, if you're like me, lying to yourself, telling yourself things are better than they really are, and then spending even a moderate amount of time trying to con God. Integrity is the prerequisite for lasting change. And in my time tonight, I'd like to define integrity, and then I'm gonna try and sell you on something, okay? So if you think I'm trying to persuade you, and I think he's trying to persuade me, you're absolutely right. I'm gonna try and give you three reasons why being a person of integrity is the greatest thing you'll ever do for you. It'll be the greatest thing you ever do for your relationship with God, and it'll be the greatest thing you do in your relationships with other people. Because what you all know is that when you walk in integrity, you will walk securely. But if you take a bend in the road, if you pervert your way, you will be found out. So open the teaching notes if you have them, and let's define what integrity is, and then let's jump in here together, and let me give you three specific reasons why the greatest, smartest thing you'll ever do in your life is to commit to being a person of integrity. The Hebrew word for integrity means complete moral innocence. Webster states, it's a state or quality of being complete, undivided, broken, moral soundness, honesty, or being upright. It's being real, genuine, sincere. It comes from the root word to integrate or to bring things into wholeness with no division. And as I said before, in essence, it's when what you say and who you really are tell the same story. Now, this side of heaven, no one gets it one-to-one. But integrity is, as a general rule, we're not talking about perfection. We're not talking about never messing up. We're talking about, on a consistent basis, your life and your words, what you project, are telling the same story instead of, this is what I say, but this is how I live. That's what integrity is all about. It's about bringing your life into wholeness, about being exactly who you say. It's when you say something, I can look in your eyes and I know that's coming from your heart. It's when you give your word, you keep it. It's being a person of honesty, but more than honesty, a person that's authentic, a person that's real. And I didn't grow up as a Christian like I told you. And I got to tell you, us unbelievers, when I watch Christians, I didn't expect them to be perfect. But when they said this and lived like this, I couldn't put up with hypocrisy. You know, if they messed up, I don't mind if someone messes up. If they say, excuse me, I'm a Christian. And you know, that cuss word that just came out of my mouth when the hammer hit my thumb, that's really not what God is looking for in my life. I've already asked God to forgive me and I'm sorry. That's not a very good testimony. I can live with that. And you know, the guy's only been a Christian 6 weeks. I mean, what do you expect? Now, let me give you three reasons then. Three reasons why you can't afford to live a life apart from integrity. Reason number one is that relationships are impossible without integrity. They're not hard, they're impossible. First, with God. Do you remember the story about the woman at the well? And Jesus stays behind and he has this conversation and he tells her the truth about him. And then they get into the spiritual conversation and she waxes eloquent about this mountain or that mountain and the Jews versus the Samaritans. Do you remember what Jesus said when he talked about an authentic, true worshiper? And it's interesting. I did a little study on the word, the Father is seeking. Literally, he is pursuing a certain kind of person. Those who worship him in spirit and in truth. See, you can't have a relationship with God until you're honest with him. And a lot of us spend all kind of time trying to con God. I'll do this if you'll do this. If I do this for you, I'll never do this anymore. And we play all these games. That's not what God's looking for. What God's looking for is authenticity. He's looking for honesty. He's looking for people who will be straight up and be really honest, even when they're angry, even when they're hurt with him. Psalm 15, I put it in your notes, classic passage. There's only about five verses, but it opens with a question and ends with a promise. And verse 1 of Psalm 15 says, O Lord, who may come into your holy dwelling or your sanctuary? Who may abide in your tent, your holy tent? And then it begins to answer the question, he who walks righteously, who lives with integrity, who speaks truth in his heart, who doesn't slander his neighbor, who doesn't put out his money at interest. He's the kind of person that swears to his own hurt, gives his word, and doesn't change. And then the ending verse of verse chapter 15 says, the person who does these things will never be shaken. God is looking for, first and foremost, people that will be honest. I came to Christ at about, 18. I was at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp. I'd never heard the Bible taught in my life. I went to a social church that didn't believe in the Bible, and they read a few Bible stories, but I came to Christ, and then I met a bricklayer who was trained by the Navigators. It's a parachurch ministry like Campus Crusade or InterVarsity, and Tuesday mornings he would come, and he taught me how to have a quiet time. Then he taught me how to memorize a couple verses. And then pretty soon, a year or so later, I'm seeking to lead some other fellows to Christ, and I got involved in a campus ministry. But I was also, I went to school on a basketball scholarship. And so there was a little different culture and environment on the basketball team than there was on the Thursday night Bible study. And I'm brand new in Christ. And I spent the first 18 years of my life learning how to relate to girls and guys in the locker room in one way. And now I have this new spirit living in me. And so I live like a lot of people. On Thursday night, I went to Bible study. I prayed. I tried to look at, act right, and I was sincere. And on Friday night, I hit every bar in Wheeling. And I got to tell you, it brought dissonance to my soul. And then I would tell God after, you know, my Friday night, I never want to do that. I'll never do that. God, please, please, please. I'm so sorry. I felt really guilty. In fact, at one point I thought, you know, maybe I'm not really a Christian. And as one dear brother said, he said, now, when you used to go out and sin before, did you feel real bad? I said, no, I didn't feel bad. I actually had a lot of fun. I knew it was wrong. But boy, now when I do what I know is wrong, something deep inside, he says, that's the Holy Spirit. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. And I spent the next year, year and a half, 1 foot walking with God and 1 foot walking in the world. And my testimony is, the most miserable people on the planet are people that are living a double life of hypocrisy. You know, I couldn't enjoy sin anymore because the Spirit that sealed me, that adopted me, that placed me in the body of Christ. You know what? 1 Timothy is pretty clear. 2 Timothy is pretty clear. I may deny him, but he won't deny me. He might withhold blessing. He'll bring consequences. But when he knocked on the door of my heart, I said, come in. And he came in, and he came in to stay. And I was miserable. Man, I struggled. Finally, I decided, you know, forget it. You know what? This Christian life, I had one little poster. I took it off the wall. I took my Bible. I stuck it in my drawer, wrapped up my little poster. And I said, you know what? If I can't live a better Christian life than this, I'm out. I quit. And I remember just thinking, okay, that's it. I mean, I'm sorry, God, but sorry, that's it. But the conviction didn't leave. You know, it was like I wanted to get out of the army and God said, no, wait a second. You made a commitment. You can renege on yours. I made a commitment. I live in you and I live in you forever. And literally my lordship decision, you want to know how spiritual I was? My lordship decision with God was, well, and take this reverently. If you can't lick him, I guess you join him. I mean, I wasn't going to live a miserable life. And I just realized, and I got down on my knees and I remember telling him, you know, this one besetting sin. I was struggling so much. Oh God, oh God, oh God, please help me. That was like the 94th time over the same issue I was asking for help. And the still small voice of the Spirit said, Chip, would you be honest? You don't want help. You like this sin, don't you? Yeah. Well, why don't you just get honest and tell me that you really like the sin, you know it's wrong, and ask me to change your mind and your heart so you can see it from my perspective. Okay. And I began to see that the reason God prohibited certain things was that he loved me so much, he didn't want the destruction that they would bring in my life. And I want you to know that there is a barrier between you and your relationship with God when you're not honest. When you know what's right to do and you don't do it. When you know this is true, but you're living this way. And you can excuse it and say other Christians do it, and you can come up with all kind of rationale. I'm actually an expert at this. If you want some help in how to go into denial and rationalize sinful behavior, you're looking at a guy who I'm masterful at it. I can give you a few, you know, clues on it. But I want to tell you, it absolutely will destroy your life. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will be found out. Relationships aren't hard, they're impossible. The first prerequisite with God is that you're honest. And are you ready for this? Because some of your body language tells me you're struggling with a few things. I'm not the only person who's lived a bit of a double life. Jot down, if it's not in your notes, Psalm 145, 18. It's an amazing passage. The Lord is near to those who call upon him, to those who call upon him in truth. What I want you to know, whatever you're involved in, whatever struggle, whatever sin, whatever lustful thought, whatever unforgiving spirit, whatever issue in work, whatever's come out of your mouth that said negative things about other people, the millisecond you get absolutely honest, and own it and bring it to God, the Lord is near to those who call upon him. And you don't have to feel bad and do penance for 6 or 8 or 10 days or 6 or 7 or 8 hours. The moment you come, the blood of Christ is open, available, and keeps on cleansing. If you confess your sin, he will do what? He will forgive you of your sin and then cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The second thing is not only does it break a relationship with God, you can't have a good relationship with yourself. Psalm 51, remember David is praying? He sinned with Bathsheba. Here's a guy that really knows God. He loves God, but what's he do? A good man at a bad moment. A great man at the wrong place at the wrong time. He ends up committing adultery and then later murder. And then Psalm 51, literally we get the memoirs. We get to overhear his prayers as he's coming back and getting back in fellowship with God. And he owns his sin. God, against you and you only have I sinned. Remember that? And then he looks at the historical roots. He said, you know, out of my mother's womb, this problem of doing what I know is wrong, this didn't just happen with Bathsheba. This has been in the heart of me and all mankind. And then in verse 5 or 6, he says something very interesting. Oh God, what you desire is truth where? In the innermost parts. You know, I have an observation is that dishonesty is the father of self-hatred. An unwillingness to see my sin and turn from it. I will learn to fabricate, deny, rationalize, and inwardly hate myself. Because you know what I learned? We all hate phonies, don't we? We all hate hypocrites. Even if the person who's the hypocrite is the person in the mirror. And you know, there's some people that live with a lack of peace in their heart and a self-image that is so negative because they adhere to mentally and verbally, I believe this, and yet their lifestyles are going this direction. And it produces this incredible internal turmoil. A young man came to me just a few years ago, very, very close friend. Came from a tremendous home, godly young man, involved in ministry, leading worship, teaching the Bible, just led a portion of one of his sports teams to Christ, 3 or 4 or 5 guys. And this guy is, every mom, every dad would say, I would want this kid to be my son. I mean, he is a picture of, quote, a young person in their early 20s really walking with God. And then he started to struggle. His countenance kind of changed. He was always filled with such confidence. Then you could kind of see it happening. And I wondered, what's going on with this kid? Make a very long story short, he was studying one day and a quick blurb came across his computer screen and invited him via the internet to just come to a little site. Just soft porn. No danger. Nothing big. And that led him on a journey. Led him on a journey deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the internet. into ever-increasing hardcore pornography. And now you got a young man getting up and playing a guitar and talking about Jesus on Sunday and an addiction forming where he told me he would come home and look around and try and figure out when the times when his parents wouldn't be around so he could get on it. And he said it was the only thing he could think about all day. And then the shame and the guilt were overwhelming. And all of a sudden, this kid is getting major psychological problems. Why? He knows what's right and true. He's living in a way that is not just producing intellectual dissonance and emotional dissonance, but spiritual dissonance, this pulling apart of your soul. And I want to tell you that, you know, we've done research and I've read research on some of our, quote, Christian campuses. As many as 30 and 45% of the young men are regular internet users on porn sites. And do you understand what it does to try and sit down at the table and, quote, have family devotions and have this secret hidden in the back? And you know what? It can be the porn over here, or it can be an addiction to soap operas over here, or romance novels over here. It can be vicariously always looking at something or someone. But when you know what is right to do, and your life is moving a different direction, you don't like yourself. And when you don't like yourself, you know what you do? You do what I do. You eat. And you're thinking, well, you must like yourself pretty good. No, I have a very high metabolism. And some of us eat. And then did you notice why when you get in the car, you have to turn on the radio real quickly? When you come in the house, you turn on the TV. There always has to be noise. Why is it that in America, food, you get depressed. What do? Go to a movie. You don't feel good, go out to eat. Well, if it gets really bad, take a vacation you can't afford. You can charge it. Why? Because if for a half hour or less than half a day, you sit quietly with no noise, and you cease striving, and you be still, what starts to bubble up? What bubbles up? The conversations that are this direction and the truth that's this direction. The dissonance in a relationship, the unforgiveness that's unaddressed, the little lustful thought that goes by, and we keep pressing it down. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will be found out. Do you see how one little word can change your life? The basis of your relationship with God, integrity, honesty. The basis of a healthy relationship with yourself, you don't have to be perfect, but you've got to be real and authentic. You've got to look in the mirror and say, you know something? I don't have it together, but I'm making progress and I'm accepted in the beloved in Christ. The third relationship that's impossible is with others. What's the command? After we're told who we are in Christ in the first three chapters, but speaking the truth in love, what? We're to grow up into all aspects who is the head, even Christ, by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, right? How can you love other people unless there is trust? And how can there be trust if what you purport to be and what they purport to be isn't true? The commodity of relationships and relationships that give you and give me the greatest thing on the earth. There are people that have all the money and all the homes and all the stuff. And what are they looking for? Someone to love them unconditionally. That's what I long for. That's what you long for. But if I'm not honest, then I don't have any real relationship.
Chip will be right back with some additional thoughts about today's teaching. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. His message today, One Little Word That Will Change Your Life, is from his series, Authentic, How to Be a Christian Without Being Religious. Being a Christian who lives like a Christian, one person, one family, one church, one community at a time, is how you can make an authentic difference in your world. This powerful series is available in a couple of audio formats, and for a limited time, the MP3s are absolutely free. Why not get a set for yourself? Or send them to a friend who could benefit from a fresh perspective on how to live the Christian life without getting caught up in all kinds of religious activity. For complete pricing and ordering information, go to livingontheedge.org, or we'd be happy to have you call us at 1-888-333-6003.
Thanks, Dave. Before we wrap up today, I want to take just a minute and say something about the word integrity. You know, it comes from the Latin word integer, meaning whole or complete. And the fact of the matter is, we're not whole or complete without authentic relationships. And integrity, as we talked about, is the basis of trust and relationships. And we at Living on the Edge, we're really not complete without you. I mean, whether you're a new Christian or whether you've been sort of on this journey for us for a long time, our goal is to serve you. We believe that we're called by God to help you be an authentic follower of Jesus, that you would walk according to His Word, that you would walk in integrity, that you would love people in a way that would make a huge difference. And at Living on the Edge, we do three things to help you do that. We teach the multitudes, whether it's by radio or TV or internet or you do it on the app. We develop tools for leaders, and we do training for small groups. We do all those things for one simple reason. We want to help Christians live like Christians. And as you listen to me today, if you've been impacted by Living on the Edge or influenced by the teaching, I'm asking you to sort of make a step of integration or to be an integer, to bring about wholeness with us. You know, we provide many of those resources. Many of the things that we do absolutely free to help people. And the only way we're able to do that is when people partner with us financially. And what I would ask you, sort of as a matter of integrity, is if in fact we're ministering to you, that God is using Living on the Edge in your personal life, your small group, your church, your family, would you take the step and begin to partner with us financially? And whether it's $10, $20 a month, whatever God leads you to do, here's what I'm asking. Today, would you join us?
If Living on the Edge is ministering to you and you've not yet partnered with us financially, would you prayerfully consider doing that today? It takes a team to do what God's called us to do, and we're inviting you to help us help Christians live like Christians. Now, you can give a gift online at livingontheedge.org, or if you prefer, give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. On behalf of Chip and the staff here at Living on the Edge, thank you for your prayers and your financial support. Well, be sure to join us again tomorrow as Chip continues his series, Authentic: How to Be a Christian Without Being Religious. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.